Time to get into your own home? We think so. Home Buyers Centre can help you own your own home for what you pay in rent. With fixed price packages from under 450 grand. Call 131 751 or visit homebuyers.com.au today. T's and C's apply.
We wanted to get the Blues' perspective with their fixture release yesterday, and we thought we'd have a chat to the CEO, Kane Little. Kane, good morning.
Morning, Brett. How are you?
I'm going particularly well. Your reaction overall just to what was presented from a Carlton perspective?
Yeah, look, I mean, you can always pick holes in the fixture, but I mean, overall, we're reasonably happy. We accept the fact that we won two games last year, and that gave us, that probably ensured that we weren't going to be getting the premium broadcast time slots. But the fact we've got five Saturday afternoon and five Sunday afternoon games, you know, it's a positive. It gives our families the opportunity to get to games. We hold on to, you know, what is now one of the biggest home and away games of the year, being round one against Richmond. And our members will recall we actually we relaunched the gate share with Richmond last year. So we're really looking forward to that and getting 90,000 to that game again. And then we've got a blockbuster against Collingwood early in the year, Saturday afternoon, traditional time slot for football followers at the MCG. So overall, we're reasonably happy.
Kane, you can imagine I sit in this chair and I read a lot of the responses from the public who are a little bit miffed and a lot very, very passionate about their clubs and where they're playing and who they're playing and how many times they're actually playing. And some mightn't understand the total process that's involved in trying to put together a fixture. Obviously, clubs are asked for all their requests and hard to meet every one of those requests. But can you just give us a little insight into how it all sort of comes together? And obviously, there's just a lot of stakeholders who are involved in putting together a final product.
Yeah, you're right. And look, Trav Old and Marcus King at the AFL do an amazing job because they're trying to balance the priorities and requests of 18 different teams. So essentially, you get a fixture request probably, you know, 8 weeks ago, where you get the opportunity to ask for things that are really important to you. And, you know, as an example, you know, we'd be asking for things like round one, which is critically important. And we try and maintain our traditional rivalries in blockbuster time slots. So, you know, the Collingwoods and the Essendons, let's make sure they're on really good times so we can get big crowds. Then there's the footy element that comes in. I mean, obviously, you like to avoid five-day breaks, and the fact we only got one Perth trip is a good thing. We've got no back-to-back six-day breaks. So there's a whole range of little things that go in. We worked with Essendon a lot of this year on trying to get a Good Friday Eve up and off the ground, the Thursday night.
Yep.
That was really the only thing we requested that we didn't get. And the message we got there was, go away and keep developing your list and keep getting better, and we'll sort of consider that because, you know, that could potentially be a big time slot down the track as well. So that was the message we got there.
So what was your understanding of the fixture release being delayed by a day? Because I think it was Monday where all the clubs sort of got a snapshot of this is what your fixture looks like. Here are the sort of the marquee slots or the significant highlights of your fixture. And then obviously quite a bit of feedback, I imagine, came from the clubs.
Yeah, I sort of touched base because when we got ours, we were reasonably okay with it. So when that broke in the media, I made contact with the AFL just to check that none of the issues or changes revolved around ours, and they didn't. So I didn't go into it any more deeply than that, other than to just check that it had no impact on us, which it didn't. So that's probably a question for the AFL because I'm not sure on that. It certainly wasn't us.
Travelling four of the first nine games obviously has drawn the ire of a lot of Carlton fans. What's your own sort of explanation of that and take on it?
Yeah, look, I mean, part of the game nowadays in this competition is you have to travel, and we're not into making any excuses. And the reality is, I mean, Hawthorn won three premierships in a row, selling four games a year to Tasmania and intentionally travelling. So, you know, our view is we'll play anyone, anywhere, anytime. And if it means that the interstate games are up early, then so be it. If they're down the back, so be it. We've got plenty of time to prepare for that. And in actual fact, our record on the road hasn't been all that bad. And, we go to the Gold Coast early. We beat the Gold Coast up there last year. I thought we played really well over in Perth for three quarters. So we get to go back over there as well, sort of before the bye. So, yeah, but we haven't even considered that. It's not an issue. As I said, we're not fussed where we play and who we play. We just want the season to start again.
So, I mean, our competition is unique in so many ways. Our code is unique. And, yes, the way we put together our fixture, because not everyone can play each other twice. I mean, the calls for everyone to play each other once, 17 games, and then have an extended final series – So as a sports administrator who's in constant contact came with the AFL, where do you sort of see all this going? Because I think people can complain and whinge and groan and moan, but the fixture is what it is and there's so many stakeholders to please. Do you ever think we'll get to a situation where it will just represent total equality across the board?
Probably not with an 18-team competition. And look, I think the way that the AFL have divided the ladder essentially up into the three groups of six, which sort of enable them to weight who you play twice based on where you finished on the ladder. Ultimately, the AFL want a fair and equitable competition. You know, they need to be given credit because they've created a situation that the Collingwood could rebound, the Richmond could rebound, the Bulldogs could rebound quickly. No one wants to see a team down the bottom for 15 years. So I think with what they've got to work with, balancing up the AFLPA and the fact that, you know, they're not going to want to play an extra 10 or 12 games or whatever it is to ensure that we all play each other twice, I don't think anyone wants to see the season cut back to 17 games, that's for sure, and that would have a significant impact on the major revenue stream of the industry. So I think working with what they've got to work with, I think they've come up with a good model.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to see another solution from where I sit. We're chatting to Kane Little, the Carlton CEO, at 10 past 10 on this Friday morning. Just the round one game, I mean, obviously a lot of people thinking, you know, from the outside that Carlton don't deserve to have that slot based on the last few years and the way the team has performed. So you've campaigned pretty strongly to keep it. It always draws a crowd. Are you stung by some of that criticism from the outside?
Not at all. And in actual fact, I'm very privileged that I've got a unique perspective on this game because I actually spent 8 years working at Richmond. And the first three or four of them, Richmond copped exactly the same criticism. But Richmond and Carlton continued to work really hard. And even when one club or both clubs weren't going well, this game was still a massive game on the calendar and still, you know, would always attract a minimum of 70,000 people. So, look, we accept that we need to improve, but we also accept that the game's cyclical and we've got a, you know, we had a young list, a list that's now developing and will improve. So just as the criticism has been levelled at other clubs in the past, we're getting it now, we accept that, but I think you've only got to look at the broadcast numbers and the crowds to suggest that that is a big game, a massive game. And just as Collingwood and Essendon, you know, their supporters, to their credit, always turn up Anzac Day, irrespective of how they're going, we view the Richmond-Carlton round one in exactly the same light.
Kane, preparations for next season. Obviously, clubs just don't stop. You can't afford to take the foot off the pedal. Recruiting, list management, another period now for delisted free agents to be possibly picked up. I think you've just finalised your coaching staff in the last week or so. Just take us inside the Blues and the preparations at the moment.
Yeah, well, there has been a lot going in the off-season. We were really happy with our trade period. I think first and foremost, we were really happy that all the players we wanted to sign this year signed. We were then able to attract a number of players who were really important to us. I mean, Mitch McGovern, someone who, you know, we see a day with Mitch and Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow being a really difficult forward line to match up on. But the beauty of Mitch is he's got that flexibility to go back if we need him in the interim. Will Setterfield is a young on baller who a number of clubs are interested in. Steve Silvani obviously knows Will really well and actually had him ranked at number one that year in the draft. He rates him that highly. So to pick him up, we were absolutely thrilled. We brought in Fazzolo and Newman. Alex is someone that our team tracked all year, someone that can come in and have an impact immediately. And Nick Newman was one who we basically got for next to nothing at the back end. And, you know, Nick's someone that our list manager, Mick Grester, who we brought on last year, he knew Nick really well. In actual fact, he helped to recruit Nick to the Swans off the rookie list.
Yep.
And he's developed into a good player. So we were really happy with the trade period. We've made some changes in our staff. We've brought in Andrew Russell, who most people would know spent a number of years at Hawthorn, and prior to that was Port Adelaide and Essendon, and he'll be our Director of High Performance. We underwent an extensive review of our high performance team the back end of last year. We had some well-advertised injuries, and we just wanted to make sure that we were doing everything in that space possible to ensure that we were developing our athletes in the best possible way. And that review actually highlighted a lot of good things we were doing. It probably highlighted that, you know, strength and conditioning and medical and rehab, ideally we needed to bring in under one resource. Yeah.
Yep.
And that is the resource we went out and chased, and we were lucky enough to bring in Andrew. So, we've made some good changes. Hamish McIntosh comes on as a ruck coach, a part-time ruck coach. Hamish had a great career at a couple of clubs, and has recently been playing local footy where I think he was sort of helping the coach. So we're wrapped to get someone who's recently out of the game to help with our developing rucks as well.
Obviously, the first list lodgement on Wednesday. In terms of this sort of delisted free agency period, are you looking to maybe add any more, one or two?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure what the boys are thinking, to be honest. I think they're having a look at one or two. I think they're also just balancing, you know, the desire to want to go to the draft and use some of those picks. To bring in the players we have brought in, we've had to trade away some picks. So I think it's important that we really keep the balance between being able to bring in sort of ready-made players, but also continuing to go to the draft, which I think Carlton have done a really good job of the last 3 years.
Pick one. Where's it at stand right now, Kane?
Where it stands right now, it's sitting in our back pocket, perfectly comfortable there.
Okay. So I imagine you've had probably a couple of nibbles and phone calls.
Yeah, no, I think Soss has taken a few calls. But look, we think that the top end of talent this year is a once-in-a-generation sort of opportunity. I don't profess to be as close to it as some of the recruiters, but, yeah, you know, from what I'm hearing, you know, the top three or four could all potentially have been number one picks the last 5 or 6 years. So for that reason, the offer would need to be incredible for us to consider moving it.
Cyril Rielli, I actually posed this to Greg Swan up at Brisbane yesterday, as from all reports yet to lodge retirement papers. So technically a delisted free agent. Brendan Bolton, obviously a great relationship with Cyril. Would there be any phone call made?
Well, Bolt is actually Bolt is overseas right now, so whether he's spoken to Cyril or not, I'm not completely sure. He hasn't mentioned it to me, but I sort of look at the sort of player Cyril is. I mean, he's an absolute superstar, make no mistake. But we look at our list, and I'm not sure how much you know about young Jared Pickett, who had was crippled with injury last year.
Mm.
You know, we look at a kid like that. His JLT series was outstanding last year, so I think we're probably happy just to focus on what we've got and trying to get his body right and getting him out there, because we think he's a really exciting talent.
Just that solidarity as a footy club when you're going through a period of trying to get the club back to a really competitive level, and obviously a lot of work being done off field as well to position yourself in, you know, a tough sporting market that is Australia. But you've had some real continuity now with the key leaders around the club, Kane. I mean, you've been involved in footy a long time. How important is that?
Oh, it's critically important. And, you know, I can't give enough credit to our board and our staff and our football department and players, because that was the one absolute positive that I took out of this year. That as difficult as things got, the club stayed completely united. We stayed consistent in our messaging. We stayed completely supportive of the people in their roles. And, great clubs are created out of situations like this. And I think, you know, not only the staff and the coaches and the board, but, you know, our members and supporters deserve a hell of a lot of credit. And, you know, I think back to that final game against Adelaide, which, you know, didn't go so well on the scoreboard. And, you know, the fact that Chief Squad stayed and clapped and supported them right till the end, I think there was a lot of positives to come out of the year. Obviously, you know, things on the field didn't always go well, but off the field, I think there were a hell of a lot of positives that helped to really create the environment and the culture that you need.
What do you think's an expectation for next season? Or what are the expectations internally?
Yeah, look, I mean, we haven't sat down and worked out what the expectations are. I mean, we wouldn't want to put a lid on how many games we're trying to win. We go and try and win every game, but, obviously winning two games last year is not something that we're going to be aspiring to do again. We need to improve. We need those players who are now coming into their third and fourth years to improve. We've taken that more balanced approach. We're bringing in three or four players who are sort of ready to go. Sam Doherty, you can almost lock him in as the recruit of the year this year. We're really looking forward to getting him back. And young Tom Williamson, who didn't play a game, David Cunningham was pretty much unsighted. We just can't wait to get them out, get a full pre-season under their belt, and then see what they're capable of.
Well, as Carlton embarks on a new era, make sure you're Bound by Blue 2019. You can sign up, become a Carlton member today. For more details, visit membership.carltonfc.com.au. Kane, thanks for your time and all the best.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Brett.
As you listen to this podcast, have a think about what PointsBet is offering this spring carnival. Every Saturday in October for races 1 to 5 in Melbourne and Sydney, if your horse runs 2nd, 3rd, 4th or 5th, PointsBet will give you your money back in bonus up to $50. Download the PointsBet app today. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.